Well, bless the Lord. I tell you what, the Lord still does that for people today.
Yes, He does.
He still saves those that will cry unto Him with a broken heart. He said He was nigh unto them of a broken heart, and He would not turn them away of a contrite spirit. And I tell you what the Lord done for me a long time ago, He still does today. I thought about how it's so good to be able, as Brother Roger said, to feel the Spirit of the Lord, and to be able to feel His presence in your life, and to be able to feel His presence in the service. It makes a difference. You know, I listen at some of the messages that I record before I put them on the radio, and you know, the places where you're preaching is spiritual, and the places where you're preaching, the Spirit is bound, you can tell a big difference. You can tell a big difference. You can tell a big, even as I listen to the message, maybe to see what it sounds like, to put it on the radio broadcast, you can tell a big difference when the Spirit's bound. And I like those services where the Spirit's free. I like those Spirit services when you can feel the presence of the Lord. And, when you have to reach out there and hunt for words to say, and it feels like you've got a mouth full of cotton, I tell you, it makes a big difference. But I tell you, we're free today. We're free because of Jesus. We're free because of what He did at Calvary. This time of year, this date, this weekend commemorates the time that our Savior went to the cross and died and gave His life. He shed His blood. My friend, I believe that when He went, that He could feel the presence of the Lord. Just like we talk of feeling the presence in the service and feeling the freedom of the Spirit, I like to think when Jesus went to the cross, He could feel of the reassurance that the Father was right there. I believe He could feel that He was accomplishing that which was pleasing to the Lord. And you know what? When we live the life, as Brother Roger said, and you go to church and the Lord passes by and blesses your soul, you can feel Him reassuring you that your life is what He wants it to be, that you're going in the right direction, that your sins are under the blood, and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I tell you tonight, we ought to be happy. This ought to be a real joyful. Every day ought to be a good day. But especially, my friend, at this time when we commemorate the death of our Savior and the resurrection, my friend, that He came forth from the grave, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. Listen, I never just had a sacrifice that went to Calvary for me, but I had the best sacrifice. I had the sacrifice above every other sacrifice that could ever be made. Our sacrifice, Brother John, was pure and spotless, my friend, without blemish. And you know, I thought about how, because the Lord had looked down through the portals of time and He saw you and I, lost and undone without a Savior, He sent the very best that heaven had to offer. Oh, that we could have that sacrifice. I preached before about Naaman and even here, and I said when Naaman came out of the water that last time that there wasn't a blemish of leprosy upon him. But listen to this. Jesus came from the portals of glory. My friend, came the poorest birth that a Savior, that a person could ever have. Even in His day, babies had a more pleasurable home. They had a more decent way of being born than what our Savior had. My friend, He was turned away from a place that may have had a bed for Mary to lay in. And there He went to the stables, and there He came into this world, born among the beasts of the field, and never had the fine bed linen, never had the receiving blankets, but He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger. And say, listen, He had the poorest birth that a person could ever have. And I believe when He grew up, Brother Rick, He had a poor life. I don't believe He had the convenience of the things things that the rich people had. But I believe he taught with Joseph. He learned to work with his hands. He learned to be around people. But listen to this. In all the years of his life, from the time that he was born there in the stable until he grew up in this life, and about 30 years old, he began to preach his own everlasting gospel. I say, listen, and even in the three, what we have known of, approximately 3.5 years of his ministry, his life, 33 and a half years, and all those years from the birth, my friend, to the very end, there was not a blemish of sin upon him. Just as plain as Naaman was of the leprosy, our Savior stayed free from the sins of the world to be that lamb without spot and without blemish, to die for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. I thought about a little excerpt from the last verse of the 7th chapter, I believe in the book of Mark, and said he done all things well. Ain't you glad for that today? We have this hope tonight, my friend, of being able to claim life and life forevermore through him, because he has done all things well. My friend, when he healed somebody, you know what? They had a 100% healing. When he opened blinded eyes, Brother Rick, I believe they went away with 20/20 vision. Say, listen, when he healed the cripple, I believe they can run a foot race. Say, listen, he done all things well. Say, listen, when he saved my soul at an old fashioned altar of prayer, he also done that well. He took a life that was burdened down and heavy with the sins of this world, my friend, but when he cleaned me up and said, because I live, you can live also. He saved me real good and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've got a sacrifice, my friend. He still lives today. I know the world is in a bad shape. Sin is on the rampage. Instead of our legislature and our people and the government trying to figure out a way to get this country moving in a righteous direction, they're looking at more sinful ways to try to raise more tax money through drinking, through alcohol, through drugs, or through gambling. They're looking at all the things that are an abomination in the sight of God. But I'm telling you, if they would turn their problems over to Jesus, the Bible said, as I quoted to you, he does all things well, my friend. He I'd do anything. I told people that you don't get saved in dads. When the Lord saves you, he saves you. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. I'm telling you today, we ought to rejoice, my friend, because we are acquainted with Jesus. That Lamb, my friend, he came into this world. When you hear them songs, you hear people talking about the blood of Jesus being spilled at Calvary. That never did happen, my friend, but it was freely shed. He shed his blood. He said, for this cause came I into this world, and to this end was I born. He came for the purpose so that you could have a way of being saved. And you know what? So that you could have a way of being saved real well. Well, not just a little bit, but set free, my friend, from the bondage of sin. I thought about how the Lord gave us examples in the Scripture, how that the sacrifice had to be pure, how that it had to be free. It cannot be contaminated. You know, we live in a life today, people act like if you live more for the Lord than you do for the world, if you give a little bit of time to Jesus and some time to the things of the world, that you can kindly evaluate just as long as you remember the Lord. But I'm telling you this, when you come down to the end of life's journey, you have to have an uncontaminated soul. Your soul, your life cannot be contaminated with the sins of this world. If you've tried to involve yourself with the sins of this world and tried to have the best of both worlds, people are doing that today. They want to claim religion, salvation, Christianity. They want to try to present themselves conservative when it comes to salvation and worship, but yet they want to live liberal. They want to live free with their lifestyle. But I'm telling you, there's more to this than just claiming the Lord on Easter weekend. There's more to this than just claiming the Lord at Christmas time. We ought to be happy today because we've got the Lord of glory. We've got the best that heaven had to offer. Listen, I believe the Lord searched through heaven. He searched the earth and beneath the earth. Well, he looked at, I believe, the Lord of glory. Do you know before Jesus came, there was good men that had died. There was good men that had already went to meet their reward. There was the prophet Elijah. There was Job, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Oh, there was people like Noah that was faithful and preached for 120 years. There was people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel that wouldn't bow down to the images. But none of them were worthy, my friend, to come into this world and to be the sacrifice for our sins, because their life somewhere had been contaminated with sin. Oh, when God took the very jewel out of his bosom, my friend, and sent him into this world. And you know what? As God wanted to send Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. At the same time, I believe Jesus volunteered and said, I'm willing to go and be the sacrifice for the sins of humanity. When he came into this world, I believe he knew from the time he started growing up, when he became of age enough to realize his mission here, when he was 12 years old. And most everybody knows the story, how that Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem to pay their taxes. And when they left, they had traveled a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But they found out Jesus wasn't among them. They were traveling in groups, maybe. You and I today, we might say it might have been something like what we would call a wagon train in the Western days.
Yeah.
They was traveling in groups, you know, and they thought that Jesus was with some of the other family members, some cousins or friends. But when they went to look for him, they couldn't find him. So they turned back to Jerusalem. And when they found him, in the temple, answering the questions at 12 years old of the doctors and the lawyers and the scribes, the people that were supposed to be well educated. They were astonished at the knowledge and the wisdom that he had. And when they said, why did you do this, that you would worry your mother and I like this? And he said, wist you not that I would be up and about my father's business? He began to realize his mission here in this world at a very young age. And listen, as somebody said, well, he was Jesus. He didn't have to sin. Satan came to him just like he does to you, just like he does to me. Satan tempted him. But you know what? He was faithful in all things. When he came to overpowering the temptations of this world, he even also have done that very well.
Yeah.
The Bible said that when John baptized him, that afterward he went into the wilderness, and there he stayed for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And after 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible said afterward Satan came unto him, tempting him, saying, if you're the Son of God, knew that he was hungry, knew that after 40 days and nights out in the wilderness that belly was your growling. I don't think one of us could stand to go 40 days and nights without eating. But he knew that Jesus was hungry. Satan, my friend, will come to an individual at their weakest point. Satan knows just how to reach an individual today. And Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Turn these stones into bread if you're so hungry. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You have to eat the whole book. The scripture said, I believe in the book of Revelation, said in, told John, said, eat the whole book.
Amen.
For in your mouth,
yeah,
it'll be sweet. But in your belly,
yeah,
it'll be bitter. Oh, to listen to the gospel message and to listen to somebody tell a good story from the scripture. Oh, it sounds kind of sweet. That's so nice. That's such a good story. Oh, that's such good words. But it's a little bit harder to digest it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder to live up to it.
Amen.
You know why? And I believe that's what the scripture is telling us. Let's not be just hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. Let us not just eat the word, but we must be willing to digest it and live by it according to God's word. You know what Jesus said? If you want to be counted as a friend to Jesus at the end of life, Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So therefore, if we'll eat from the word of God, of the things that he's laid out, the way that he's laid out for us to live in this life, we can live with him when this life is over. The Lord knew it. The Lord knew it wouldn't be easy. But he said, if you suffer with me, you shall also reign with me. Be thou faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many. I thought about how our Lamb proved himself. In this life as a Christian, whether you're a Christian a short time or a long time, in essence, you're proving yourself by denying the flesh. You're proving yourself by saying, Lord, I don't want to deal with the unclean things of this world, but I want to be a separated person. You're proving yourself so that you can be worthy to hear him say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and unfaithful servant. He's going to say, thou faithful servant. And if we'll be faithful unto him, I believe when we come down to cross the river called death, I believe he'll be right there. For he said, I'll never leave you. Who's he never going to leave? He's never going to leave the faithful. But do you know what happens to the unfaithful? God doesn't draw away from them, but they draw away from God after being enticed and drawn away by their own lust, falling a victim to the temptations. There's no sin in temptation. Jesus was tempted, but there was no sin to Jesus when he was tempted. But had he been drawn away and enticed, then it would have become a sin. He would have not been the Lamb without spot and without blemish. When you're tempted to do things that's wrong, don't think to yourself, I'm just as bad a sinner as I ever was. Look here what's coming before me.
That's right.
That's no sin to be tempted. The sin comes in when you fall a victim to that temptation. Say, for instance, you've got an opportunity to steal something. You say, no, I'm not going to take that because that don't belong to me. That's just the thought that Satan's putting in my mind. And you walk away and you stay away from that. The Lord will bless you for overcoming that temptation. There was no, even though you said, well, I thought about stealing it, preacher. What do you do, preacher, when you have thoughts like that that's not good? If I have thoughts that's not good, I ask the Lord to help me. Like, Lord, I don't want to have those thoughts. Now, some preachers tell you they never think of nothing wrong, but they're a better man than I am. But when I have those thoughts, and my friend, I ask the Lord to help me. I don't want my mind in the gutters of sin, but I want my affection set on things above and not on the things of this world. When the children of Israel were being delivered out of Egypt's bondage, oh, God the Father knew that it was going to take a special sacrifice even at that time. the way that the Jews, the house of Israel, the way that they took care of their sins, they would offer a sacrifice from year to year, and it would stay their sins. That meant if you gave a sacrifice this year, that was acceptable unto the Lord, that you was good to go for a year. But you had to come back next year and offer another sacrifice. And you had to do that each year, from year to year. It stayed your sins from year to year. But you know what? The Lord, when Moses was delivering the children out of Egypt's bondage, it's a figure and a type likened unto you and I being delivered out of sin's bondage. It took a special move by the people, and it took a special effort. I want to say this today, if we're going to live for the Lord and be delivered from this sin-cursed world, when life comes to a close for us, it's going to take a special effort while we live here. You just not get into heaven under any circumstances. My friend, you will abide by the word of God and follow His commandments to be able to enter in.
Amen, brother.
The Bible said the Lord told Moses, should take you a lamb without spot and without blemish. That's the way our Savior was, without spot and without blemish. There was no spots of sin upon him. There was no blemishes of having ever done anything out of the will of the Father. You couldn't spot his life. Satan tried to spot it. But you couldn't spot his life in no way. He was without spot and without blemish. He said, take you a firstling of the flock. That meant a firstborn of the flock. That's what our Savior was. The Bible said that Adam was called the Son of God, but Jesus was called the only begotten of the Father. He was the firstborn, my friend, of our Heavenly Father. Adam, my friend, came from being created, but Jesus came into this world with a natural mother, and the Holy Ghost was His Father, my friend, and therefore, in essence, He was the firstling. He was the firstborn, and more than that, He was the only one born of the Spirit of God from our Heavenly Father. That lamb was a figure and a type likened unto Jesus. When Moses offered up, you know what he told him? He said, you take that lamb and you slay it, and you take the blood thereof and put it up on the doorpost and upon the lintel. We would say the header and the door jamb, the side jambs. The doorpost and the lintel around the top and the sides of the door. You take that blood. You know what? When the Lord of glory washes us in that blood, in essence, that blood is applied to our lives. And listen, it's a figurative thing. We know we was not washed in a pool of blood from a lamb. And nobody dipped a rag down in a wash pan full of blood and wiped us to make us clean from sin. But figuratively, we have looked to the cross of Calvary by an eye of faith and have believed that blood that was shed by the Lamb of God, the Son of God, without spot and without blemish, has cleansed us of our sins, my friend, and has made us worthy to claim Him as our personal Savior. Put that lamb, make sure that it's without spot from the 10th until the 14th day. I've often said that I believe that they examined that lamb every day.
Yeah.
I believe they, when they picked up that lamb the first day, the 10th day, you know what he said? He said, go out and get the lamb, get it from among the sheep or from the goats. And I thought when Jesus came into this world, he never came for just a group of the sheep of the good people. He never came for just a group of special people. But he came for those that wasn't even special, that was a nobody. He said, I was sought by them that knew me not. My friend, in essence, you and I were Gentiles. In essence, we would have been considered as the goats. The house of Israel might have been considered as the lambs or as the sheep. But he told him, said, get you a lamb without spot and without blemish. Get it from among the sheep or from among the goats. And say, listen today, that was to show us that the Lord never came for one particular group of people, but he came for whosoever will the claim. He came for those that were supposed to be holy, and he came for those that were not supposed to be holy. I preached the message before. The sheep represented the children of God, and the goats represented the sinners. But I want to say this, whether they're Jew or Gentile, Greek, whatever they might have been, Brother Rick, the Lord came and was that lamb without spot to be their Savior. And they proved that lamb from the 10th until the 14th day. You know, as Christians, in essence, we're being examined. No, we might not be examined like a doctor would examine your body to look for natural defects or scars or handicaps or anything of that nature. But we're being examined by the world. They're looking at us. They're looking at us all the time, wondering just what kind of a person we really are. Are we really steadfast and unmovable? Is there anything really that could take our eyes off of Jesus? People are examining you all the time if you're a child of God. The Bible said our lives is an open epistle read of all men. Our lives, Brother Rogers, the saying has been said, is the only Bible that a lot of people read. And they read that by examining you. And they read that by watching your daily life. Just as they watched that lamb, I believe they looked at it on the 10th day. Well, it looks good to me. I don't see a thing wrong with it. And I believe they put it up in a place of safety. But you know what? I believe they got to thinking about it. And went back the next day. Let's look at it again. Let us make sure we can't take a chance on not having the proper kind of a lamb. I say, listen, we can't take a chance today on sowing seed to other things, my friend, that may take us down to hell. We have to know the reality and the joy and the pleasure that there is in having the real blood of the Lamb applied to our life. We can't have a fake or artificial. There's a lot of people in church. They've got religion, but they don't have salvation. You know, in this life, not very many people know what you're talking about. Even in our country, it's not so bad. In our area, the hill country of West Virginia and Kentucky, it's not so bad. But for the most part, in the United States and around the world, when you talk about being born again, they don't know what you're talking about. When you say, I got saved, they don't know what you're talking about. We can't afford to take chances on something that may not be real when we come down to die. I believe that we can know the reality of serving God. We can know the joy. And say they examined it on the 11th day, and I believe they thought, well, it don't have any spots on it. I believe it's going to be all right. But you know what? Each day, I believe they went back out there and examined it again. And I believe they parted that. I like to think they parted that fur. They're looking for a bite. They're looking for an animal bite. They're looking for a snake bite. They're looking for some kind of a defect in that, because they couldn't take a chance on having a lamb that was not acceptable. I'm telling you, we've only got one life in this world, and we can't take a chance on not having a sacrifice that'll be sufficient for us to be accepted when we come down to die. We'll not get another chance, my friend. Therefore, we must look to the Lord of glory, the Son of God, that has done all things well, so that we can know the reality of having Him in our heart.
Amen.
Right up to the 14th day, I believe they examined it and found it to be without spot and without blemish. You know, in the ministry of Christ, they tried to oppress him. They tried to pressure him. They called him Beelzebub. They said he cast out devils in the name of Beelzebub. They called him a devil. You know, I had a man call me a devil one time. Call me a devil. But you know what? They done our Savior that way. But you know what? I believe even in all the things that came before him, he still proved himself worthy. He still proved himself without spot and without blemish. I'm telling you, it's easy, my friend, to be a Christian when everybody's good to you. It's easy to be good to them. But when people are not good to you, you go ahead and still be good to them. That's where the test comes in. When somebody has done you bad, you do good for them. The Bible said, do good unto them that do evil unto you. And by doing so, you shall heap coals of fire upon their head. It said, you do not overcome evil with evil, but you overcome evil with good. That's how we're being examined. We're being watched if we want to overcome evil with good. Or are we going to try to get vengeance? Are we going to try to get revenge on somebody? People are watching our lives. They're examining us. And you know what? Satan will set a snare and a trap for you. That's why the Lord said to me, harmless as a dove, but wise as a serpent. My friend, we have to keep our guard up against the temptations, the things that Satan puts before us. Because when you fall a victim, I can do 1,000 good things. And nobody will say, boy, Brother Luther done a good thing. They'll never recognize that. I've done many things for people. I never as much as get a thank you. But you know what? If Luther Dinglish go out and do one bad thing, it would be all over the area. Before the sun would go down, they may not notice the good things that you can do, but they'll sure mark the evil things. They'll sure mark the bad things. Therefore, we have to make sure that our life stays just as spotless as possible. Now the Lord knew we couldn't be like him. He said, little children, talking to the church, he said, little children, I would that you sin not. Now he's saying, it's my desire that you don't sin. I don't want you to do things that's not right. But if you sin, if you do something wrong, if you make a mistake, if you slip and say something you shouldn't have said, somebody said, well, I'm just as bad as I ever was. That's a lie, another lie from the devil. They said, but if you sin, you have an advocate. We've got somebody pleading our case. And you know what? It's the same one that does all things well. And when I take a problem to him, my friend, he turns to the Heavenly Father and says, Father, this one has been washed in the blood. This one has asked me to forgive them for their mistake. And listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said that God, the Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, that God, for Christ's sake, forgives us of our sins. Ain't you glad today if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. And if you will confess your sins, you know what's the most dangerous thing? Is doing a sin or doing a wrong and say, I never done no wrong. They started it. I couldn't help it. I never done no wrong. It was them.
Bless your heart.
I mean, I'm just giving you reality. That happens.
It's all right.
But if you'll confess your sin, all he don't say, he don't want you to itemize everything. He knows what you've done.
Yes, he does.
Sure.
All he wants is a sincere, Lord, I'm sorry.
That's right.
A sincere apology. If you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us.
Yeah.
From all unrighteousness.
Amen.
You know what he does? He does that well. He does that well. Now Satan, when you wake up tomorrow, Satan like to make you feel guilty over something you've been forgiven for. That's the way he done all of us when we got saved. When we got saved and we felt free at heart. When we woke up the next morning, Satan said, now look at that, what you done. You told all them people you got saved. You told all them people you've been forgiven. You shook hands with them, hugged their neck and everything. You never got saved. Satan will lie to you. He'll deceive you. And when the Lord saves you, he does that well. They took the blood and they put it upon the doorpost and the lintel. And listen, and when the death came through the land, what the Lord told them, They said, when I, the firstborn of all the Egyptians, from the greatest, from the firstborn of Pharaoh,
yeah,
down to the handmaiden behind the mill, the poorest of the poorest women that lived in the, what we might say, poverty, from the greatest unto the least, when I come through the land, the firstborn of that family will die. But when I come by your house, and you took that lamb without spot and without blemish, you took that lamb that's been put up for 4 days to make sure. I tell you, we can't take a chance on this. I don't want to take a chance. I don't want a religion where I can't feel it. Somebody said, well, you can be a Christian and never feel it. If you can't feel it, you wouldn't know if you had it or not. But I don't want something you can't feel. I want something that I can know, that I pass from death unto life. That I can know, that I can feel. When my brothers and sisters sing the songs of Zion and it blesses my soul, I want to feel it. From the crown of my head down to the soles of my feet. When my brothers preach the gospel and feed me so that I can grow, I want to be able to feel it. But my friend, I don't want a religion where you just sign a card and there's no reality to it. I want to feel it down on the inside so that I can know that my name is in heaven when death passed through the land. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said, the Lord told him, said, when I come through the land, if the blood is upon the doorpost and the lintel of your house, not so much as a dog will lift their voice at you. A dog ain't even going to bark at you. You think the Lord will keep us from danger. He's watching out for us. How many of you ever went through a neighborhood of walking and know that there was a bunch of vicious dogs there? And you'd say, Lord, keep them dogs away from me. Don't let them hurt me. I've done that. I've drove on dangerous roads. People running out of the road, I'd say, Lord, keep me safe, take me home. And he'd do that. Some of you, Brother John, some of you know where I live. I live, go up a holler and you go back on a hill. I went home late at night and said, Lord, get me safely home.
Yeah.
Other people parked at the foot of the hill and the Lord take me right to the yard. I tell you, he watches out for his children. I believe that today. I believe that today with all my heart. And say, listen, he was watching out for his children. He said, when I come through the land and I see the blood of that lamb without spot and without blemish, not a form of religion, not just any lamb. Well, they couldn't take a lamb that had been crippled up or had been bitten by a wolf. They couldn't take a lamb that had its eye poked out with a weed or something. It had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. And the same thing applies to us today. We have to have the blood of that pure lamb applied to our life to be worthy to enter into eternal life. You know, the scripture teaches us in the book of Revelation, the last enemy that we'll have to face is death. But how are we going to conquer death? We're going to conquer death through Christ Jesus. This weekend commemorates his death, his burial, and resurrection. But you know what he said? He said, I am he that was alive and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to hell and to death. Our Savior today is the Savior. He's not a Savior, he's the Savior. And say, listen, when death came through the land, every house that it passed, don't you know that those people inside the house, they could hear the weeping and the howling. They could hear the crying of their neighbors, all from the least unto the greatest. They could hear people moaning and a weeping because death had come into their house and claimed their firstborn, claimed their oldest child, whether it was a male or female. The firstborn had to die. Why did they have to die, preacher? Because the Lord said so. That's good enough. Somebody say, well, I don't understand the scriptures. I don't know why it said that. I can't answer all that either. But if the Lord said it, we have to accept it. That's the way it's going to be. It come through the land, and when it passed the house, I seen the blood applied to that doorpost. You've heard that song that was written, "Is the Blood Still There?" Where that little boy told his daddy to look and see if the blood was still there. Sometimes we ought to evaluate ourselves. Ask ourselves the question, is the blood still applied? Is the blood still sufficient? If the Lord should call, is the blood upon my life? You know, the primitives sang a song, "His blood is on my soul." And I tell you, we ought to be able to say that at any given moment, Brother Rick. His blood is on my soul.
Yeah.
If His blood is not upon us, we'll perish, my friend. When they see the blood, it would pass on by. And the houses, when you could hear the... I believe some of those people could hear the crying and the weeping over to the left. And as death came through the land, and it passed their house, they could hear the crying and the weeping on down the road to the right. Don't you know that they rejoiced? Death has passed by. Death has passed by. And we're still alive. Our firstborn is still with us. Praise the Lord. Death, my friend, it only takes us away from this life. But if you've got the blood of Jesus applied, death, my friend, is a doorway to eternal life. Remember, Jesus done all things well. When He was your Savior, He done that well. When He's your forgiver, He'll do that well.
That's right.